אגדיונטה ואגדיונטה. אכסיב אכסיב וטויבו, גיבה בנסיורת. You know, the tzaddik can say that when you didn't get together to celebrate a tzaddik, whether it be the yard site of a tzaddik, whether it be the day that something special happened to the tzaddik, like we're doing today, Mizut Shemagid, the Yom HaGul of the Baal Tanya. So the tzaddik can say that when such a thing takes place, it's like you're giving a kvittel to the tzaddik. So Hashem should bless us that as our kvittelach go to the tzaddikim, we should be zeichah that all Yimali Hashem kol neshalas libein l'toiva l'toiva hanirav hanigul l'matim asar tzvach hamamish. So, you know, the Baal Tanya, his name was Shneir Zalman. So the tzaddikim said, you know, the name Shneir, it's okay. We're good now. So the tzaddikim said the name Shneir comes from two words, Shnei Or. What's Shnei Or? So Shnei Or, there are two lights. What are the two lights? Torah Sanigla, Torah Sanister. And the Baal Tanya was not only the Baal Tanya in Nister, and not only was he the Baal Tanya in Nigla, but Shneir is also one. It's one word. It's one word, which means that his inyan was also to unite Nigla and Nisa together. So, you know, the Baal Tanya, when he recommended that amongst his chassidim to commemorate the way to celebrate Yutes Kislev, the day of the Gula, was by dividing up Shas. So, Baruch Hashem, we haven't done this until now, but this is the first year of Bez Hashem from last year. A number of the Chevra took it upon themselves to be, not to finish Shas just by themselves, but to be Masada things, that as a Kehila, as a Chevra, we should be Zeichet to be Masayim Shas. So it's a Gvaldi Gazach, it's a very big score. And again, I'm going to mention just a few names of people that helped to be Masada at Shmuel Tenenbaum, Dr. Kramer, Blumstein, Aaron Kuttner, and many others as well. Not only to learn Masechtas, but to help others to learn, to be Masadid things. The Rebbe Moshe should bless each and every one of them, and each and one of them Mishtatvim. And we're doing this as far as the whole Kehila for sure, and every Yid is welcome in the Kehila, so that means it's for the whole of Klal Yisrael. We should be Zeichet to, through the Siyam HaShnas, not only to be Miskasher to all the Amroyim and Tanoim of Shas, but to the Tzaddikim, the Baal Tanya, with all the tzaddikim, we should be zeichet to mamish see those two iris in our lives, in the nigla of Yidden, the nister of Yidden, be united as one.
Amen.
Bez Hashem will make this siyam, but just a few words of Torah with Gabe Yutes Kislev and its connection to Yisim Hashas, what you'll see in a moment. So, you know, One of the fundamental principles of Torah Sabal Shem Tov is that everything's bashkacha pratis. There's no such thing that's a coincidence. Even the smallest, most seemingly inconsequential thing is bashkacha pratis. So that's true for even small things. Allah has come v'kama big things. So bashkacha pratis is that the past number of years we would have a Yutes Kislev for bringing and really motzi Yutes Kislev as we go into Chav Kislev. What's that in yet? So whatever the sibus were, but what happened on Motzi Yutes going into Chav Kislev? Because by the Chassidim it's also a celebration. So the Baal Tanya was let out of prison on Yutes Kislev. But Maisa Shaya Kachaya, he was let out. But the arrangement was that he was going to go from prison to a house of one of the Chassidim, a Ramotel. And this Ramotel lived in a two-story building. And he lived on the bottom floor. And the top floor was occupied by a very big misnagid. Someone, Adraba, was mamish involved with bringing the Baal Tanya to prison. So bashkocha pratis, a mistake took place, so to speak. And the Baal Tanya, instead of being escorted to the home of the chassid, he was escorted to the home of the misnagid. And so he was by the misnagid. The tradition is that he was there for three hours. And he later on said that his time in the house of the Misnagid was more difficult than his whole time in prison. But he was let out, yeah, as I said, and he was let out. Finally, the Chassidim realized, like, what's going on? It's taking so long. Where's the Rebbe? So eventually they figured it out, and they came and they took him out of there. And so he was let out of prison from the Goyim, Yutes Kislev, but he was let out from the house of the Misnagid to go to the Chassidim on Chav Kislev. So this is the Indian, okay. So this is the Indian of Chav Kislev. Now let me explain. There's something very strange that took place in the house of the Misnagid. When the Baal Tanya went to the house of the Misnagid, so initially the Misnagid sort of was mechavi the Baal Tanya. He gave him a cup of tea, he sat him down, bekavit, and then he started grading him. So it was a very strange thing. What's also strange is that after the Baal Tanya, after the Chassidim came in to sort of rescue the Baal Tanya, they were gonna jump on the Misnagid. But the Baal Tanya stopped them. Baal Tanya said, "Kvayd Achsanya, you have to cover to the host, sit down, have a cup of tea with him." There was something very strange that was taking place. Although on the outside there seemed to be this very strong conflict between the Misnagid and the Baal Tanya, but behind the scenes there seemed to be some level of iskashus between them. From the Misnagid side, that he gave him a cup of tea, and from the Baal Tanya side, that he told his chassidim to sit down to have a cup of tea with him. Something strange was going on. So the truth is like this. I mentioned before that Bashkocha Pratis, he was there for 3 hours. What's the meaning of why 3 hours? So like I said, you know, these are Dvarim under Rumi Shloilam, Sisri Taras, we don't know, but for the purposes of Iskashas. I mentioned before when the Baal Tanya left prison, so it was on the Pasuk of Pada B'Shal Navshi. There's a Maimer from the Mittler Rebbe. The Mittler Rebbe explained that the Pasuk of Pada B'Shal Navshi, even though the simple pshat is Dov Melch said this Pasuk, like I mentioned before, by Avshalom and so on, but the full fulfillment of that pasuk of Pada B'Shal Navshi takes place of when David Malka Mashiach, when Mashiach Tzikenu is going to come, and the real pidyon, the real geula B'Sholem will take place. Which means that when the Baal Tanya says that pasuk Pada B'Shal Navshi Nikrov Likib Ragim HaYamadi, when he was taken out of prison in Yud Tes Kislev, that's a window, it's a ha'ara, an illumination, a little bechina of the ultimate Pada B'Shal Navshi, which is the coming of Mashiach, which is not so far-fetched. Baal Tanya said that his redemption from prison is a gula for Chassidus, and we know Mashiach is dependent on Kishivutza Mayinus Techachutza. So the redemption of Baal Tanya is memela, an opening to gula itself, to the coming of Mashiach, which is Pada B'Shal Navshi. But the Rambam says at the end of Hilchas Malachim, that Lefi Pshutim Shel Mikra, based on the simple pshat of Nevi'im, of Tanakh, it would seem that after Mashiach comes, there's this phenomenon of Milchemes Gog U'Magog. And Milchemes Gog U'Magog takes place, and obviously, the Donatzach, we win, and then the rest is Tchias HaMesim, is Gevaldi Gezach. Now, there's a Kabbalah from the Rishonim, the Rekech, many Rishonim, that the entire period of Milchemes Gog U'Magog will be 3 hours. Vayshana, Sholei, Shoei, Sayshana, we said Vayshana. Sayshana, Hashem should protect us and save us for 3 hours. It's a reference to Milchemes Gog U'Magog. So let's make a simple cheshbon. If Yud Tes Kislev, if the redemption from prison, from the Baal Tanya, was Pada B'Shal Navshi, that's the coming of Mashiach itself. But then he doesn't go to his chassidim, then he goes to the house of the Misnagid, and he's there for 3 hours, Bashkocha Pratis. And from then, he's redeemed, then he goes to the house of the chassidim. So from prison is B'Yis HaMashiach, so it must be that the 3 hours and the redemption from the house of the Misnagid is the inyan of the Nitzachon, of overcoming Milchemes Gog U'Magog. Now, Bashkocha Pratis, it's not such a strange thing that the inyan of overcoming Milchemes Gog U'Magog should be Merumas and the Baal Tanya being in the house of a Misnagid, where on the outside it seems to be this opposition between them, but in Pnimius they seem to be working something out together. Chazal said, Gemara Sukkah, Chazal say that Mashiach ben Yosef, whoever this mysterious personality is, but Mashiach ben Yosef is going to fight our wars with Milchemes Gog U'Magog, but says the Gemara in Sukkah that Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed in Milchemes Gog U'Magog, and Mashiach ben David will come, and Chazal said that he'll be Mechayim Esim, will bring Mashiach ben Yosef back to life. Now the Vilna Gaon, the students of the Vilna Gaon already said this in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon himself was a Bechina Mashiach ben Yosef in his generation. And one of the big avoidas of the Vilna Gaon was to try to stop that gezeir from happening, that Mashiach ben Yosef should not be killed. The way Mashiach ben Yosef is not killed is through his iskashrus, through his connection to Mashiach ben David. Instead of him being killed, and Mashiach ben David be Mechayim Esim, if Mashiach ben Yosef immediately is miskasha to Mashiach ben David, then he doesn't have to go through that process. He'll stay alive from the very beginning. If the Vilna Gaon and the Mela, the Misnagdim, are coming from that world of Mashiach ben Yosef, then the Baal Tanya in the house of the Misnagid, where even on the outside it looked like hisnagdus between them, but in Pnimius there was some yichud taking place between them, dafka during the 3 hours, after him being released from prison of Padu Vishal Nafshi. So the Imi the Baal Tanya being in the house of the Misnagid and then leaving the house of the Misnagid B'Shalom is an Indian of establishing a path towards overcoming the Indian of Mechemes Gagamagag B'Shalom in a good way, in a way that Mashiach Ben Yezid doesn't Nachas B'Shalom have to be killed, in a way of absolute peace and absolute Shalom. So the fact, so Vashkacha Pratis, if we're for bringing Matzei Yutes Kislev into Chav, it means that the Indian that we have to think about is this avoida of how, what does it mean to overcome the klipa, the Indian of Gog u'Magog, in a way that Mashiach ben Yosef doesn't have to die. Because that's what was happening when the Baal Tanya was leaving the house of the Misnagid, which is now. So like I said, everything's bashkocha pratis. So if we're making a Sima Shas, so the Masechta that randomly was given to me as an option was Maseches Nedar. So, if Bashkocha Pratis, so I'll make the Sima Shah soon, but it'll be through Maseches Nedar. So, Mestama will find something in the end of Maseches Nedar to be able to shed light on the Sugya of Yotes Kislev and the Baal Tanya, that's the Misnagid, Gog u'Magog. So, what's the last Gemara Maseches Nedar? So, the last Gemara Maseches Nedar is a story. It's a little bit of a not such a pleasant story. The Gemara says like this. That there was a guy, we'll call him a guy, okay? It doesn't say the Gemara that says his name. There was a guy, and he went into someone's house. There was a married couple, the husband wasn't there, and he goes into this house with the intention of doing something not good. And so the husband shows up, and they hear the husband coming, so this guy doesn't want to be caught. So he climbs up to the attic. It happens to be in the attic, there was like a storage area where there was like food and stuff. And this guy that's in the attic, trying to hide from being caught, from when the husband comes in, so the Gemara says that he sees that there's a snake, a poisonous snake that's hanging around the food over there. And evidently the snake ate from some of the food, which the Gemara says, if anyone eats from that food, it's a sakana, because the poison of the snake might be ingested and so on. So the husband doesn't know what's going on. Meanwhile, this guy is hiding in the attic. And the husband's hungry. So he decides he's going to go to the attic to get some food to eat. This guy that's hiding in the attic sees this happening and realizes, well, if this husband eats from the food, he might die. So the guy yells out, don't eat from the food, a snake just ate from it, and so on. So fine. Now the husband realizes what's going on. So the Shaila Gemara is, we don't know whether the Navera actually took place or not. If an Avera took place, the woman is usher to her husband. If an Avera didn't take place, then they have to go to marriage counseling, but she's mutter. So did something happen or not? So the Gemara says as follows, Amar Rava. Rava said, it's Pasha that she's mutter. Nothing, an Avera didn't actually take place. Why? Because said Rava, because if an Avera actually did take place, then it's Pasha that the guy would be happy for the husband to die. The fact that he's protecting the husband's life, it means an aver didn't happen. Because if an aver happened, he would for sure be happy to have this guy killed. That's rough. Says the Gemara Pshita. Yeah, obviously. If he mamish the Navera with her, then of course he would want the husband to also die. The fact that he is protecting the husband's life means that nothing really ended up happening between the two of them. So it's pashut. What do you need Rava for? That's a simple thing. Says the Gemara, No, because you could say the possible svara is that maybe Taka they did do an avera, and maybe they did something wrong. So why is he trying to protect the husband's life? Says the Gemara. So maybe you could think ma'im genuvim yintaku, stolen waters are sweeter. Maybe there's a mishagas that he wants the husband to remain alive, so that it remains an avera, and it'll be more gishmak for him to do to try to get away with something he's not supposed to be doing. So maybe Taki did do something wrong and he's still trying to keep the guy alive because Mayim Genuvim Yintaku, stolen waters are sweeter. So that's why Rav has to say, no. Avada, that's not the pshat. If he's saving the guy's life, it means he didn't do anything wrong yet. Adkan. Come on, that's the end of the sugya. Hajjanulak, Mesech Zedar. First of all, a number of things. The Gemara always wants to end off a Masechta b'chitoyv in a good way, in a positive light. This is a very disturbing story to end the Masechta with. Why would the Gemara want to talk about this? This is not how you want to end the Masechta. I understand, so I guess the end is that they didn't do anything wrong. Rava, and the fact that he tried to save the guy's life means that Rava says he didn't do anything wrong. But this is not a good story. So why would the Masechta end like that? Aleph. Beis, what does this have to do with Maseches Nedarim? You would think the Masechta of Nedarim would end with something about making a vow, an eder, something. This is not Nedarim. You can put this in other Masechtas. So if Bashkocha brought this Maseches Nedarim, it's ending like this. So first of all, it's ending it on a negative note. And it's also, what does it have to do with Maseches Nedarim? So it's like this. Very simple. Let's just think for a second. Again, Rava said, again, the husband's going up to the attic, getting some food. The guy yells out, no, don't eat. A snake ate from it, and so on. Says Rava, so did an affair happen between the guy and the wife or not? We don't know. Says Rava, if he's saving the guy's life, for sure an affair didn't happen. Because if an affair happened, he would for sure want the husband to be killed. Let's think about that. Why? Why? Why is it so kasha that if an avera took place, he wouldn't want to save the husband's life? So, one suggestion would be, and this is what I would say, is, first of all, because avera gerus avera. If he already did an avera, that's what Rava's logic is. If he did an avera of arayas, which is a very serious offense, then avera gerus avera, and from arayas, he's now, the Yetzar is now going to push him to be over on Ritzicha, on murder. He's not killing the guy with his own hands, but at least he's not saving the husband from death. So if he did an Avera, then certainly he wouldn't save the guy's life, because Avera is Gerer Savera. And the truth is deeper than that. Not only Stam Aver Gerer Savera, but these two Averas in particular, of Arayas and Ritzicha, Arayas and Ritzicha are very much connected to each other. Esav is the embodiment of Ritzicha. Esav means murder. Esav is anger. That's Yishmael is Tivus. At the end of Parshas Toldos, Esav marries the daughter of Yishmael. Rav Nachman writes in Likut Moran in Torah Yud Aleph, and he writes this in other places as well, that Arayas and Ritzicha, they're connected to each other. Esav and Yishmael, they want to team up against Klal Yisrael. That's what Esav and Yishmael want to do. So there's this, not only is Aver Gereris Avera anyway, but specifically Arayas to Ritzicha. And the truth is more than that. Not only is it Aver Gereris Avera, and not only do Arayas and Ritzicha Stam have to do with each other, but the nature of all things, listen, the Sforim tell us, the nature of all things is to anything, everything wants to connect to its root. The more something is connected to its root, the more chias, the more vitality, the more lively, the more chias it has, the healthier it is, the more it's connected to its root, right? If you have a plant and the branch is strongly connected to the tree, it's healthy. Whatever degree is disconnected from the tree, to that degree it's unhealthy. What's the root of all Yetzaharas? What's the root of all Yetzaharas? The root of all Yetzaharas goes back to Adam and Chava, right? What was Adam and Chava? So Adam and Chava, the Nachash comes to Chava, and what does the Nachash say? The Nachash says, "Eat from the Eitz Hadas, the Yisem Kilakim Yoidei Toivara, you'll be like God." In other words, the very root of all Averas, the very root of the Yetzara is ego, 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 ego. Aniv Avsi Yoid, I want to be like God. In the Svarim in Chazal, we find that the Yetzara of murder, of Ritzicha, is ultimately rooted in the root of all Yetzaras, which is Yisim Kilakim, to be like God. To be like God means I am absolutely in control, and anyone encroaching my territory feels a threat. And Aniv Asiyoi, God is alone, I want to be alone. All powerful. The inyan of Ritzicha, the Yetzar of Ritzicha, is itself an embodiment of the ultimate Yeshus and the ultimate Gaiva. The ultimate Yeshus and Gaivas, Chas Hashem Ritzicha itself. The Yisim Kilakim, to be godlike. That's to take life, to be in control of life itself. That's the Yisim Kilakim. From that statement of the Yisim Kilakim, so it's interesting, by an extension of that, then what happened? Then Chava sees the tree, and she sees the tree that it's Toive Eitz Lamachal Venech Lumayim Yisavachi Ilainayim, that, oh, it tastes delicious, and it looks good, Arayas, Toive. So you see, the taiva comes from, taiva is like a branch that comes from a tree, and the tree is yeshus, is ego and gaiva, murderous rage. That's the tree itself, Yisum Kilakim. And from there, there's a branch, it's called Taiva. Since the nature of all things is to want to connect to its root, so go back to the story. If this guy didn't Avera, if this guy actually didn't Avera Varayas, then says Rava, it's Pashat that he would then want the husband to be killed. Aver Garas Avera. Beyond Aver Garas Avera, Arayas and Ritzicha are connected to each other, like Esav and Yishmael. And deeper than all of that, everything, the root of Taiva is Ritzicha. The Taiva that Chava had towards the Eitz Hadas was an extension of the initial Yetzar, which was V'yisim Kilikim, which means Ritzicha. So it's only natural for once there's the Yetzar of Arayas, which this guy gave into, for it automatically to want to root itself in its own source, which is V'yisim Kilikim, which is Ritzicha. Therefore, says Rava, if this guy didn't have Ver Arayas, it's Pashat that he would then want to be over the Isra of Ritzicha by allowing the husband to be killed. Therefore, says Rava, if he saves the husband's life, it's a riot that he didn't do a riot. Because if he did a riot, that branch would want to be connected to its root, which would be Ritzicha. But this can't be pshat. Why? Because if so, what's the next piece of the Gemara? Then the Gemara says, Pshita, it's Pashit. Obviously. What's Rava's Chiddush? Of course, if he did Avera, of course. He would want to have the husband killed. So says the Gemara, no, because there's a svar. What's the svar? Maybe Taki did the Avera. And Afalpikin, he wants the husband to remain alive. Why? Because Mayim Genuvim Yintiku, because then the Taiva of Arayas is going to be a stronger Hano. Mayim Genuvim, stolen waters will be sweeter. So maybe he'll sacrifice he'll keep the husband alive in order to double down on his Taivas. And that's why Rav has to say Chiddush, not like that. The problem is, if Rav's logic was that if he did the Avera, he's going to want the husband to be killed, because the natural sequence is that every Yetzara needs and wants to be connected to its root. And the root of Taiva is ultimately V'yisim Kilikim, which is Ritzicha and ego. Then it's still Pashit. Then there's still no svara. Why would the Yetzar sacrifice its own life, its own root, its own connection to its source to double down on Taivas? It's still Pshita. Again, the Gemara is saying that the reason why you need Rava to say Chiddush is Rava is a Chiddush. Why? Because maybe he wants the guy to keep him alive in order that he should have more Taivas. Why would the Eitzar want more Taivas if it has an opportunity to connect itself to its root, which is Ritzicha? Of course it would want that. So it's still Pash. So what you see from the Gemara is that that's not the reason why it's Pashit to Rava. It's not the reason why if the guy didn't have Avera, he would want the husband to be killed. It's not because the Yetzar of Arayas wants to connect to its root in Ritzicha. That's not the reason. What is the reason then? So Taisus says, Taisus on the Gemara says, the reason is because very on more of a Pashit level. The reason why Rava says if the guy didn't have Avera, he wants the husband to be killed, is that because he wants to continue a relationship with this lady without the chances of getting caught. It's just now he's able to marry her out in the open if the husband's out of the way. So it's also to fulfill his titus. And that's why if he didn't have Avera, he would want the husband to be out of the way so he could continue to do the Avera of Arias in a way that doesn't cause him any danger. And to this, the Gemara says that there's a chiddush in that statement. Because since his motivation is to continue to have Taivas, maybe you could say the opposite. Maybe you could say that the reason why he wants the husband to remain alive is in order to double down on his Taivas. And now Rava says a chiddush, which is that even though if the husband remains alive, he would have more Taiva, even more Hana, but Afal Pikin, he'd rather the husband be out of the way so he could have a relationship with this wife without there being any danger. But here's the problem. The problem is, why was I wrong? Why was I wrong? Why is it that, again, Rav is saying the reason why if the guy didn't have Avera, he wants the husband out of the way. Why? So what I suggested was, is because the nature of all Yetzirah is to connect to its root. And the root of Taiva is the ultimate root of Yisim Kilikim. So that's the ultimate root. So Yetzirah wants to connect to its root. That's why once the guy doesn't have Avarayis, he automatically wants the husband dead because he wants to be over the Isser of Ritzicha too. But from the Gemara, Taisus proves that's not the Svar. The Yetzirah of Arayas by this Jew does not want to connect to the root of Ritzicha, just wants to be Arayas. And that's why there's a Hava Mina that maybe he wants the husband to remain alive even though he did have air, because he wants to have more Hana from it. So, but why? Well, why not? Why does this Yetzirah of this guy not want to connect to its Shirish? Why don't we say Aver Goras Aver? Why don't we say that Arayas wants to connect to its root in Ritzicha? So this is what you see from the Gemara. What comes out from the Sugyas HaGemara is the following truth, which is that the ultimate root of evil, of the Yetzirah, which is the Yisim Kilikim, is not Shaykh Ba'iyah. It's not Shaykh Ba'iyah. That's what you see from the Gemara. It's Taka true. The nature of all things is to connect to its root. And the root of all Arayas is ultimately that statement of Yisim Kilikim, that I want to be like God, and I want control, I want power, I want to be like God. But that root of evil is only shayich by the Nachash, and it's only shayich by those that come from the Nachash, which are the Umas Ha'ilum. But the very nature of a Yid is that the beginning and end of our Yetzirahs is just Taiva. It's just Taiva. When Chava hears those words of the Nachash, which is V'yisim Kilikim, the words V'yisim Kilikim and that Yetzirah of control, of power, of ego, of Ritzicha, does not resonate at all by Chava. The only thing Chava hears is the branch that comes from it, which is Taiva. Of Taiva Eitz Lamachal, B'chisavi Leinayim, that's the only thing that resonates with Chava. But the very fact that the Nachash was offering V'yisim Kilikim, that does not resonate at all. Which means that when it comes to a Yid, even though conceptually, as far as the Nachash is concerned, from the Nachash's perspective, what's the root of all evil? The root of all evil, the root of all Yetzirah is the essence. The soul of the Yetzirah itself is, I want to be like God, control and power. And as an extension of that, comes Arayas and Taivas. By a Yid, it's not like that. By a Yid, the only thing that we have as an issue is Taivas. But any ego, any that inyan of V'yisim Kilikim completely doesn't exist by us. This is why in the Gemara, what you see from the Gemara is this point, is that the only reason why, if this guy didn't have Aver of Arayas, he would then want the husband to be killed, is not because he wants to then go into Ritzicha. It would only be to allow him to have more Taivas. And to that the Gemara says, well, maybe you could say the opposite. Maybe it gives him more Taiva if the husband remains alive. But the inyan of the natural progression of things, of something wanting to connect to its root, and therefore the Yetzirah of Arayas wanting to connect to the Yetzirah of Ritzicha of Yisim Kilikim, is not Shaykh Ba'ayid. Because this is the essence this is what we get to from the penimius of the sugi, which is that the very essence of a Yid is nothingness. The very essence of a Yid is so humble and so sheep-like before the Rabbanu Shel Olam that the very notion of there being a statement, a standalone statement of a Yisim Kilikim is not shy by Yid. It's just simply not shy. That does not resonate by a Jew at all. What could resonate by Yid is Taiva. What could resonate by Yid is wanting power in order to fulfill Taivas. Because the ultimate desire and Taivas of a Yid is to sort of fill that gap that the Yid feels in the very recesses of their being of that nothingness. But instead of that nothingness being a perfect vessel for experiencing Hashem, so the Yid mistranslates that and tries to fill it with Taivas and distractions and so on. But the very root of the Yetzirah by Yid is nothing more than just trying to satisfy that sense of helplessness. That's the only thing that he struggles with. But v'yisim kilikim, to be like God, that inyan, that's not shaykh b'yid. That's not shaykh b'yid. This is the two yetzaras that exist. There's what evil is mitzad nachash, which is v'yisim kilikim, and there's what the yetzara is mitzad chav and her descendants, which are only klal yisrael, which is at most v'chisavi leinai. That's the only thing that can be. Let's understand. There's one shevet of all shvatim that seems to struggle with v'yisim kilikim, with ego, with that sense, which what would seem to be a shevet that maybe has a tendency to have the Eitzar that the Nachash is actually offering, v'yisim kilikim. And that's Yosef HaTzadik. It's interesting, Yosef HaTzadik is very good at controlling Tivus. But we do find, Chazal already say, that in the Shvatim of Yosef HaTzadik, there was a disproportionate amount of Ir Miklat, of Ari Miklat, by Yosef HaTzadik than other Shvatim. The Shchichi Roitzchim, because there's a lot of murder going on by Shevet Yosef. There's a lot of Avodah Zarah too. Avodah Zarah is rooted in this inyan of power, of control. I decide who God is. That's Avodah Zarah. Yosef HaTzadik, in this week's parasha, brings Lashon Hara, so to speak, on his level, to his father, about the brothers. And the brothers say by Yosef HaTzadik, HaMolech Timlech Aleinu, Moshe Timshel Bona, what, you're going to be the king, you're going to be over us. Notice there was a chashash, there was a concern that just as, you know, Avram has a Yishmo, and just like Yitzchak has an Esav, maybe Yaakov has a Yosef. And maybe Yosef is the psoilus, is the psoilus that comes from Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu is the inyan of Dumus Dukni Shal Yaakov. The image of Yaakov is on the Kisei HaKavod. So maybe the soilus of Yaakov Avinu is the Noch, is that statement, is Yosef HaTzadik who embodies Chas V'Shalom, that statement of the Nochesh, which is, I want to be like God. And that's why he's coming with a sense of ego over the other brothers. His descendants have a struggle with Avodah Zarah. There's a lot of Reitzchim in the Shvatim of Yosef HaTzadik, as the Gemara says. So it seems that Yosef HaTzadik is struggling with the sin of the Yisim Kilikim. But the irony is that Yosef HaTzadik is then sent to Mitzrayim. And you would think, what avoida does Yosef HaTzadik have to work on then? Humility. But that's not the inni that he struggles with. Right? That's not the nisayim that he's thrown into. What's the nisayim he's thrown into? Tivus. Because this is the ultimate truth. That even a Yosef HaTzadik, who seems to be expressing a very strong dosage of gaiva, and that, not Yosef HaTzadik himself, but that from that place, that inyan of control, like Yosef HaTzadik says, there's no one in this country, there's no one in this house that's bigger than me. So it seems that maybe his nisayon is v'yisim kilikim. But the beer is, no. Even such a yid who's screaming chai v'kayim v'yisim kilikim, I'm God, even such a yid, his ikir inyan is just tivus. He's only saying that to have tivus. He doesn't really believe that he's in control of anything. Every yid is a lemela. Every yid is a sheep. Every yid is mamash tzabroch me'zach. It's not possible that a yid should have that thing. Why does Yosef come with that tekifus, with that strength? The answer is because he uses that as a way of overcoming his yetzar. The way he overcomes his tivus, the way he overcomes his nisyonis is by coming with strength. But that's just a weapon that he wields in order to make sure that he doesn't fall into low places by holding himself as big. But it's not be'etzim because Chas V'Shalom he holds himself as anything high. Chalal not. The inyan of every yid, even a yid who comes from the world of Yosef who seems to be struggling with gaiva, it's not gaiva, he's just a tzabrachna kli, that's all it is. And he doesn't know how to handle that. So he's overcompensating. But it's not that at all. It's the only struggle that he has is through the emptiness, naturally trying to fill with tivus, and maybe overcompensating by talking a big game. But that's him. A yid is a b'china vayin. Yid is not mamash nafi. That's what yid is, in the best of senses. Let's understand. The final klipa, the last klipa that the world has to overcome, is ultimately uprooting the very essence of evil itself, which is v'yisim kilikim. That original nachash, the original nachash, with that original offer of, I'm offering you to be like God, that in order for Olam Haba to take place with Chiyus Mason, for everything, for the ultimate tikkun, we got to uproot that. And that is Goyg u'Magog. What does the word Goyg mean? Gag means a roof. It means something that's high. A Vav means and. It means however high you think the roof is, it's higher. Goyg u'Magog means the klipa of Ve'yisim Kelekim. Says the Gemara, Mashiach ben Yosef, the Pashtus, dies in the battle of Goyg u'Magog. It dies in that battle. Because the Pashtus, Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef, seems to be struggling with that inyan of Gaiva. Because that's, he's using that to overcome his Tivus. But he seems to be sort of allowing himself to be prey for Goyg u'Magog. Comes Mashiach ben David. What's Mashiach ben David? Mashiach ben David, David Melech is nothing. David Melech is the embodiment of humility. David Melech is the embodiment of someone that has all the covet in the world and is completely humbled by all the covet. David Melech comes and holds Mashiach ben Yosef's hand and clarifies to the whole world. He's just saying what he's just talking like that because he's trying to deal with the struggles that he has with Tivus. So he's trying to overcome those tivus by making himself higher, which is what Yosef HaTzadik does. Yosef HaTzadik says in the parasha that there's no one in this house that's bigger than me, that's stronger than me. And he's saying that in order to not fall into Eishes Potiphar. But it sounds like while he's saying that, he's building up his own ego, which now means he's falling into the hands of Goyg u'Magog. Says Mashiach ben David, no, he doesn't mean it. He's just saying that to avoid Eishes Potiphar, because that's the main Indian, Eishes Potiphar. The Indian of Gaiv, that's not that. No Yid struggles with that Betzim. That's not. And so Mashiach ben David comes to revive into the Mechayim Esa Mashiach ben Yosef by clarifying that every Yid is Mamish Ayin Ve'ef, sees himself as Mamish nothing. And this is what, again, like I said, this is what the last Gemara in Maseches Nedarim is clarifying, is that a Yid that falls into Tivus, that's all that he's falling into. There's no way Tivus then leads into Ritzicha. It doesn't work by a Yid. Because Ve'yisim Kilakim is Be'etzim not Shaykh Ba'yid. By the way, and who clarifies that in the Sugya? Tosfos. Tosfos is the Lashon of Yosef. Tosfos is the secret of Mashiach ben Yosef, and Mashiach ben Yosef needs to clarify for himself that the only struggle that he could possibly have is Tivus, not Gaiva. Gaiva is completely unrelated and completely beyond the natural order of Yid. It's not Shaykh at all. Therefore, the sugya of Maseches Nedarim ends on this positive note to clarify that a yid is etzem not shaykh to the root of yitzar, to the root of evil, which is v'yisim kelekim, and this is the ultimate clarification of the entire Maseches Nedarim. Why? What's all Maseches Nedarim about? All Maseches Nedarim is about a yid that takes something which is mutter, a piece of meat, a cup of water, whatever it is, and makes a neder and makes it awesome. It means that this yid through Nedarim has a koyach to make a mitzvah. He could make a new Avera. He could produce something new. Until now, there was no Inyan, there was no mitzvah of avoiding this cup of water. And now, by him making a neder, now there's an Isser in the Torah that he's not allowed to drink this cup of water. You know what it means to have an Isser? It means that in Shemayim, he just created universes. He just created universes. It says in the Medrash that when the Nochash said to the Chava, V'yisim kilakim, you'll be like God. Says in the Medrash that what the Nochash was saying to Chava was, you'll be like God, and just like God creates worlds, you'll also be able to create worlds. So all Maseches Nedarim is about a Yid's ability and celebrating a Yid's ability to create worlds. By him making an Isser of a Neder, by creating Halacha of Nedarim, he's creating worlds. Which is exactly what the Nochash offered Chava, V'yisim Kilakim. So the Kasha that all Maseches Nedarim is struggling with is that really Shaykh by a Yid? That a Yid is so excited to create worlds like the Rabban Shalom, the Yisam Kelekim, comes the end of Maseches Nedarim to clarify, avadanat. What a Yid wants to do is nothing more than just to curl up in a fetal position and just say to Rabban Shalom, it's just you, Einam Avadai, it's all you, it's never been me. Why would a Yid take on the strength of Maseches Nedarim in order to be able to avoid Eishes Potiphar's? But Be'etzem, what a Yid is, Mashiach ben David. Even Mashiach ben Yosef is better than Mashiach ben David. And this is what Chassidus comes to bring to the world. The Inyan of the Baal Shem Tov, and the Inyan of the Baal Shem Tov is to reveal that the very essence of Ra is posh and not shaykh by Yid. When you look at a Yid, all that we can struggle with is all of our struggles come from ultimately our greatness, our holiness. That's the side of what comes out of a Yid. All of the issues of a Yid ultimately are coming because in the Yid's core, he's completely bottled, which is the holiest thing in the world. But the thing is, the Yid doesn't know how to deal with that bittul. So Mimela, he either overcompensates with Gaiva, or he tries to distract himself from that bittul with Taivis. But it's all coming from such a holy core of bittul, as opposed to the Nachash. The Nachash and all his issues is coming from a rotten core of Yisim Kilakim. And this is the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov. The avoid of the Baal Shem Tov is when you look at a Yid and you see the Yid struggles, recognize that it's coming from holiness, it's coming from a core that's mamish ayin and batel to Rabbanu Shalom, and that's where all of his struggles are coming from, not the Nachash's source. The Nachash's Ra is coming from a rotten core. By a Yid, it's coming from a lichtige core. And this is what Chassidus brings, and therefore it's Davka Chassidus that gives Mashiach ben Yosef the ability to overcome even Gog u'Magog. Because the Baal Shem Tov and Chassidus enlightens us to realize that even when a Yid talks a big game, even when a Yid goes with what seems to be the logo and the mission statement and the proclamation of the Nachash, which is V'yisim Kilakim, he's just saying that in order to deal with the whole of Bittel and the nothingness that's inside of it, that's within him. He's saying that in order to avoid Eishes Potiphar, or he's compensating whatever for the sense of nothingness that he doesn't know how to handle. But be'etzem ayid is kaddish mi'bet, and it's an impossibility that the shayrish of Ra, which is v'isim kelekim, should be shaykh ba'ayid. That's the side of Mashiach ben David, and Mashiach ben David, which is the Taras of Baal Shem Tov, comes to be mechazik, the world of the Vilna Gaon, and the world of Mashiach ben Yosef, that in its root, even Mashiach ben Yosef is as batal as Mashiach ben David is. And from this, they're able to overcome the Nidah Melchemes Gog u'Magog. What's the, again, the halacha l'maisa, the avodah that comes from this, is that when you look at a Yid, no matter what the issues of this Yid is, no matter whatever category it falls into, taiva, gaiva, ritzicha, whatever, avodizar, gilorei shvichas dam, you name it. With all the inyanim that Yid is going to have to work out in their life, but the core, what's it coming from? What it's coming from is a Yid who's tzebrochen. It's coming from a Yid who in his kishkes is just looking for something deep, looking for something significant, looking for meaning, looking for his skashas. That's all the Yid is looking for. And that's only by Yid, by the Mesa'olam, it's coming from Yisim Kilakim. That's where it's coming from the Nachash. But by Yid, even if it's Shechem Shchichi Roitzchem, or whatever the in Gilad Shchichi Roitzchem, it could be even in Mamish in such a place where it screams Yisim Kilakim, it's not coming from such a place. Hashem should bless us. But the Rebbeinu should look down upon us, and it should be Nizgala in a revealed and open way. What becomes clear from Mamish Maseches Nedarim, from Halacha Psuk, from a Sugyan Shas, a clear Sugyan Shas, that every single Yid, ultimately in his root and her root, is coming from a place of absolute bittul and his kashrus telekos. And it's just, we don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to make sense of it. We don't know what to do with ourselves. And from there comes some certain mistakes that might make Befrat Tebuchlal. The Rebbeinu Shem should help us that Kilchola and Bishkaga, we should be Zaychet only realize that truth within ourselves, within another Yidden, and from there we should be able to return to our source in Kedusha in a healthy and happy way. Amen. Yeah, so now, Bez Hashem, we're going to sing the Dal Bovis together, the name of the Baal Tanya, with Makash ourselves to the Tzaddik, and Elmer Kasim, and Makas, Shazach Tol Shefa Bracha, and Slachad Lidai.